comes out of some of the times with our reading and preparing and things of Thursdays and even before that. But I would say this right now. How many have ever had a job and they said it's okay to sleep on your job? But when you go to a job, it's not like they say, well, oh, you got some good qualities here, but hey, Tim, do you do a good job sleeping on the job? Yes. Well, you're fired. We're not going to hire you. Because why? They don't want you to sleep on the job. When they're paying you, they want you to be alert and awake and doing things for the company. Well, would God be any different? No. God says, I don't want you slumbering and sleeping because I find... And I find rest in this, as I think is in Psalms or somewhere around there that talks about that he never slumbers nor sleeps. My God is always alert. Now, I can't always be alert, but I'm going to tell you, I think even in my sleeping hours, that there is things by that of the Holy Spirit that will wake you up. And so slumbering, sleeping to get rest for our body, I believe there's times God will even stir us to alert us, to get us to hear him or to rise up. Some people have a gift of writing down, you know, things of that nature of whatever God is sharing. But our God is this. He says and he tells us, and I think it's to affirm in us, to let us know that we're never alone. See, people in this world are alone. We got how many millions of people in this world, in this country, in this city? But there's a lot of people in Gainesville, at 65,000 plus people, there's a lot of people that are alone. There's a lot of people that are in prison and jails that are out walking on the street. They just don't realize they're incarcerated with that of sin and the things of what this world of the devil, the god of this world, has put them in. They just think it's the norm. Sometimes it's always hurting, or it always kind of gets you to the point when people say, well, it's just the norm. No, that's the abnormal. We shouldn't be that way, you know. We need to be better. We need to be progressing. We need to do things different for that of the glory of God. Amen? Don't you think that's exciting? God's got an army marching through this land. Yes, deliverance is their song, and there's what in their hands? Healing in our hands. In this army, I've got, I'm going to let my friend take it. I don't want to do it. No, I've got a part to play. And if I'm going to play that part, I got to be awake. I got to be watchful. I got to be paying attention to my God. So our verse and where we're going to look at is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, and we'll stop in 6. But I want to kind of preface this a little bit, because in 1 Thessalonians 5, it tells us why we can be a watchman and why he wants us to be a watchman. You know why? Because we're different. Paul is sharing here that we've been brought out of light, and now we're in the or dark. I'm sorry. We're in the light. We've been brought out of the darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to start in, well, first let me share the verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be what? Be alert. Or sober, well, watch. Sober is self-controlled. We have to have self-control with what we've got. Amen? It's hard for people to use self-control. I mean, I've gotten better at that. I can drive by Culver's without stopping for, you know, ice cream, or their, not ice cream, their custard, you know. I can go in there and order a salad and not order a custard. That's self-control, you know. But there's a lot of times I say, well, one scoop, maybe two, I don't know. But we all have to deal with that self-control. But anyway, we're looking at this, but let us watch and be sober. But I want to get to there. Well, how can I watch? Why is he expecting me to watch? Why is that? Go up to 4. But you, brethren, Paul is sharing here, are not in darkness. How many here are not in darkness? Raise your hands if you're a child of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not in darkness. And he says, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. Well, what is that? Well, now we got to go 5:1. You begin to read scriptures, and you got to keep backing up, backing up, backing up, backing up. Beep, 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 beep. You know, going back to the beginning. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. I take that for the word of God. I don't need to go through labor having a baby. I don't want to have a baby. Okay? I just take it by faith that I've seen women having delivering and thing, and they're just like, oh, that doesn't be like, I don't want to be there. It's a hard thing. But it says this. Verse 3, for when they say, oh, no, we already read that. But verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. But there again in 5, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Amen. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah to that. Hallelujah. Woo! Been in the dark, I like the light. I was a little child at times. My sister would always kind of take me to bed and put me in. Then, you know, I'd wake up or I wouldn't even go to bed. I'd come out of the room and go down to my mom and dad. And I think my sister at one time or one of them said something, but I think it was my sister said, well, Timmy, are you scared of a little dark? And you know what I responded back to her? I said, no, I'm scared of it all. It's not the little dark. It's all the dark. Well, you know, when we're in sin and going through it in darkness, we didn't even know we were in darkness. We just thought, oh, that's life. That's the norm. We look at the world around us, and that's what's happening. I guess I'm okay. No, you're not. That's why it's so important for us to go out. But you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And the Amplified, it says this, but you believers, or it could say, but you brethren, all who believe in Christ. What are that? All you who believe. Well, all who believe in Christ as Savior and acknowledge Him as God's Son. Amen. Jesus Christ, I hate to tell you this, but I'm glad to tell you this, He's the Son of God. And God is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is part of Jesus, part of God. And it's, oh wait, we had Trinity a few months back, and we shared on the three of them. And like Brother John was saying, you know, when he's hearing a word from God, he doesn't know if it was this from you, God, or is this from Jesus, or is it the Holy Spirit talking? Which one is which, you know, because it's the triunity, the Trinity of God. But one or the other, they all function for a purpose. But anyway, it says we're all sons of God, are not in spiritual darkness. So, and that's what this is. See, when we talk to people in the world, we say, well, you're in darkness. And they go, well, it's 12 noon, the sun's out. What are you talking about? Are you wacko or something? No, but we are telling them the spiritual side. Your inner spirit is dead. That's why we are reborn. We rebirth the person. The spirit in us comes alive with that of salvation to where then we are that of a new, what? Creation. But you are not in spiritual darkness, which would be what? You're not held by its power. We, I, you, us, before salvation, we were held by the power of darkness, right? You may not have been evil person, you know, but without salvation, you were in being held by the spirit of darkness. So it says, you're not in spiritual darkness or held by its power, that the day of, what's that day, of judgment would overtake you by surprise like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day, and we do not belong to the night nor to the darkness. You've got to tell the devil, I'm not a part of your club anymore. Amen? I'm not in your darkness club. I'm in the light club. Hallelujah. You've got to remind the devil that, because he likes to. Like you ladies had so wonderfully about a month back now, how time flies, or whatever, over a month and a half, about past things and how we had the shredder up here and we shred it. Said, whatever hits your spirit, what your Lord is speaking to you, write it down, bring it up here and shred it like that, and well, just let it go and let the devil know that you might try to remind me of that, but weren't you there? Didn't you see me? I put it in the shredder, devil, you know, and let him be on his way. Send him on his path of lies and deception. Amen. The devil is on a path of lies and deceptions. We're on the path of truth and light and life. Amen. So how do we understand Paul's talking about this being light? So much about light. We're light. Well, let's look at just a few instances here. Acts 26. Acts 26, it talks about in 26:18. We can go right there, but we need to do what? Beep, beep, beep. Back up. But let's read this. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Now, so isn't that amazing? So when he's talking about turn them from the darkness is the power of Satan, to the light, which is what? That of the power of God. Amen. I want to be turned on to what? The power of God. But we got to go back. So Pyrrhus, he's asking as we're reading this out, but I go up to the very beginning. Paul recounts his conversion. And we talk, and you can go through verse 1, 2, and what he is looking at in verse 15. He's asking that of who? That of the Lord. He says in verse 15, "So I said," this is Paul speaking as he's sharing now about his conversion, "Who are you, Lord?" It wasn't like he was saying, "You're the Lord." He's questioning, "So who are you, Lord?" And what did Jesus say? "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." But then he says, "Jesus, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you." We are to be that witness like that of Paul. Amen to this day. We are to be what? Witnesses. And he's going to reveal things like he did to Paul. He's going to reveal them to who? He can only reveal them to us. We got to be watching for these things to happen. You got to be. So it says, "To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you've seen and of the things which I will reveal to you." I am so glad that my Father will tell me things, that He will warn me, that He will give me insight, that He will give me a clue, and He'll say, "Here it is, Lord. Here it is, Tim." And then 17, "I will deliver you," this is Jesus speaking, Paul is reiterating what he was told, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." He's sending Paul out for the mission. He's got him all planned. He said he came about, and we all know the conversion and where Saul came from to Paul and what he did. But even that scoundrel... Jesus says, "I will deliver you as well from the Gentiles, or deliver you, but I want you now, I'm going to take you and send you to the Jewish people as well as the Gentiles to whom I now send you." To do what? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and do what? And have an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You have, by that of the mere of having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and saying, "He is my Lord, forgive you my sins," we have now been what? You have been sanctified. What does that say? We have now been set apart out of the world into a different place. We're still here. We're still in the spirit, but we have been set apart out of that of darkness into the part of what God here upon this earth says, "Now you are my light, and go shine forth. Don't be like a light on the hill and hide under a basket. Get out there, shine your light." I look around, and there's all different wattages of people here in lights. I don't care if you're a 25 watt or a 500 watt, you're a light of God, amen? You stay hooked up to Him, and He will increase that 25 watt of light in you to a 50, to a 75, to a 100. The more you're with Him, He's going to share more with you. He's going to put more in you. You will begin to build that muscle of spiritual faith. And how is that done? Remember the last week or so back, I talked about trials and tribulations. We're pressing into God. You better press into Him because there's trials and tribulations coming. And when trials and tribulations come, the only way you're going to survive them and to come out of them is by having Him press into you and you press into Him so that He can bring you through that to say, "Here you are. You made it, child. But now you've got that testimony to share with others because you had a trial." Well, let's all give a shout of praise for a trial. Hallelujah! I'm not giving word to the devil to do that, but I'm going to say, "You put something across my path, my Lord will bring me through it, and I'm going to shout the praise to my God that my God brought me through it, and look what God can do." And then eventually, I truly believe this, I truly believe the devil will leave you alone because he's tired of messing with you, because every time he messes with you, it just builds you up faithfully and stronger to God, and then what's the devil doing? "Thank you, the devil, for giving me a message. I got the message of God, but I've got the message of what I had and what happened and what I went through, but the power of God did something in that, and He brought me through it." Amen. How many here have been brought through a trial or tribulations? You've got a testimony. Testimonies are what saves and gets people's attention to where you can share what? The Word of God. Because you're saying, they may not believe you if you just go up there and say, "Well, let me just tell you about my Jesus. Da, 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 da." They will say, "Well, that's all well and good. You probably went to Sunday school. All nice little lessons. But When they say, how can you be so positive? How can you be so happy? How can you be so sure of things? And I know all the things you've been through, and I know some of your history. Not all of it, but I realized this, and I heard this, and I understood that. And you said, yeah, that's all true, but that is when I came through them with the help of who? God. God brought me through those trials and those tribulations. And then we begin to share the goodness of God. Now that's when you get the ears, attention of that person. You mean you battled this? You had to deal with that? You dealt with this? This was taken from you? The greatest things that you hear is when people have really been through a struggle and they've come through them and they are on fire for God. Whew! I've known people in my life through churches and things that what they dealt with as family and couples and what they had to go through. But then you come, see, when I saw them, they'd already come through it. And they were sharing a testimony of where I wasn't with them when they dealt with that. But now I'm seeing them 30 years, 10 years, 15 years later, and they are just sharing the love of God. They are just sharing how God took something when they had nothing. Or maybe, you know, some of the things I think of is like instances where people, they lost everything, bankrupt. But God built them back up. And their testimony was so powerful. But that's what will get their attention. So we are all of that of the light. And so that's what I'm saying. God bless you if you're a 10-watt bulb. Hallelujah. You know, there's some lights in here that they only come on when it gets dark. And so it's kind of neat. You know, you get a shade over them and all of a sudden they pop on. And it just, it's amazing what a little bit of light will help you walk through here without skinning up your knees, let me tell you. I've been there. Or come down these steps and miss a step. Thank you, Lord. So here he is. He's telling us. So we're getting back to like he's telling us, you were light. That's why you're expected and you're going to be able to be that watchman for this. Now, here's another couple of things here. So we've talked about that. Let's see. Sanctified. You know, we've been set apart. So another area in Romans 13. Romans 13, Paul is speaking about what? Doing casting off the darkness. In 13:12, I'm just kind of laying a little bit of the thought process of, well, we talk about this light and dark. How do I know I'm in the light? Well, if you're a child of God, you're in the light. Now, sometimes we've got to remind you that you're in the light. Amen? And that there is a difference of light and darkness and how Paul was sharing it with the people there. And I'm believing if he were here today, Paul would want to share it with us here today. But he can't be, but the words are here and we're going to share it with you so we all get benefits of Paul because of what Jesus and what God was doing. In 13:12, it says then, in 11 it starts here, and do this knowing the time that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. Get out of that sleep, for now our salvation is near when we first believe. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of what? Darkness. You mean darkness has works? Oh, yeah. Okay? But darkness, it says here, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor. Not just light, but the armor of light. The armor does what? Protects us. Put that armor on. You know, these guys, when they go out on the street and all, they got this body armor on and all that, so the bullet gets shot at them, you know, it just hopefully hits the vest in the right spot and it doesn't do any inflicting damage. Amen? But we have that plate of breastplate, that armor on us, the spiritual armor that we have. And I would encourage you, don't take your armor off. Leave your armor on all the time. I know somebody talks about people get out and they're putting on the armor, putting all this on. I don't ever want to be without protection, amen? And the armor, keep the word of God. It's almost like when you say you're thinking about putting on the armor and all that, it's like when I go to bed, you mean I take away God's word, I set it aside, going, oh, that's not for now. No, the word of God, the power of word of God, it's on me, in me, through me. The armor of God is around me. I have you, do you know, you've got a force field around you if you're a child of God? Well, he talks about going before you, behind you, around you. You know? Watch some of the Star Trek and some of these space things and all that, you know, when they put a force field around them. You know, it looks like nothing. Then it's, you know, you have to see this thing and you hear the humming of the high energy. We walk in that daily with that of the power of God. Amen. I'm a child of God. I'm the child of light. Darkness will try to get me, but it ain't going to get me. Amen. Ephesians 5:8, one last place. Speaking about light, speaking about, then this is where. Ephesians 5:8. Walk in the light. For you were once, Ephesians 5:8. So we all, he's not telling us how many here realize we were once in darkness. Yeah, duh. But he's reaffirming it here. But you were once in darkness, but now you are light. And this is what we've got to do with the child of God. This is why it's important for churches. This is why it's important for church attendance. This is why do not forsake yourself assembling together. Find a faith body. Get in it at least weekly so you get recharged, energized, and maybe the word of God comes to you from the pulpit or from somebody sitting next to you. But here's the thing. We've got to, for you were once in darkness, but you are now in the light. Walk as children of light. My encouragement and what I desire is not, it's a twofold approach. We gotta do what we need outside these four walls, but we've got to look at you folks here today, and as a pastor or a teacher or somebody that's in the Word of God trying to share a study or whatever the case is to interject again the Word of God into you here today. Oh, you might go out there and say it. I would be where you're at and say, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. I've read that before. I've read that before. But when you hear it in a corporate body and that of the power of God and the Spirit of God, like, you know, through things of the Word of God hitting us, and we're here today, and my prayer is, Lord, take something that I share. It's not my word. It's yours. But put it in them. Reinvigorate them with that word. They need to hear it. It's okay to read it, but have you ever noticed when I was reading and learning to read, I could read with, you know, just read silent, but I got more out of the story when I verbally spoke it. You know, like, once upon a time, there were three bears. And now if I just read that, but if I vocalize it, once upon a time, there were three bears. You know, a mama bear, a papa bear, and a baby bear. I always wondered why. I thought I was something wrong with me that I felt like I had to read a story and read it to where I could hear it. There is something about that. When you hear the word here, you can speak it. When you hear it, it comes back in, and it does something in your spirit. It does something to you remembering. It does something deeper than just reading it, just sight reading. Maybe that's just me. You guys might not need that, but I felt like that was why I did that. So we have to come and share the word on a Sunday or on a service to not only get the people fired up to share what they've got of God, the light you got to the darkness out there, but to remind you here today, you're a child of God and God loves you. Because many people in our churches go through a hard time during the week. And sometimes they get beat up. And they come dragging in. And so we got to interject the word of God. We got to interject prayer. And we got to say, Lord, touch their spirit today. Encourage them. Build them up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Excuse me. By the Holy Spirit to where I've poured out. And I need more again. A continuation of the Holy Spirit. Because if we go and pour and pour and pour, you become drier, drier, drier. As you become drier, you dry up. And you get shrivelly, and you're really not good for anything. And so how can you go out and minister the Word of God when you're just shriveled up in the Word of God? You got to be infused with the power of the Spirit every day, every week, by the reading of the Word, by corporate fellowship, by corporate sharing, and hearing the Word of God. I pray that anyway. That's what I pray that this is all about. It's not about me getting up here and sharing and just reading. It's to, I get filled up myself by just reading this, and I don't know, but maybe I just get a little excited, okay? And I get talking faster sometimes. So listen to the website if you need to. Oh, hallelujah. So anyway. So Paul speaks one more time about walking in the darkness in 5:8, Ephesians 5:8. So now let's get into watch. That's what it's all about. So when we're told to watch, look up that word watch, okay? So watch in this. we've always looked at, and I love it. I know Linda brings, and we get talking like Bible studies and stuff, and we always carry like a dictionary because, you know, different words, and you read, and then you look at, like, what does it mean in the Greek or the Hebrew? Just what does it mean by Merriam-Webster, you know, Merriam-Webster? What is that all about? Watch. When we're told to this to watch, remember we said, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch as being sober, self-controlled. Watch is this, to keep a vigil, to be awake during the night, to be attentive or vigilant, to keep guard, to keep someone or something under close observation. Woo! I want to keep my God under close observation. Not that he's doing anything wrong. I just want to watch him and see him at all times to see what he's doing. And I've said this many times. It's like, I love to hear his voice telling me something, but I want to be so close with him that in the spirit, I want to just by looking at his, not that I can see his face, but if I were to look at his face and his eyes, that if he just looked his eyes this way, I would know he says, Tim, go that way. Because we draw this conclusion by that of our children, when a child is misbehaving across the room and they look at their parent on the other side of the room and the parent looks at them, you know, and their and the parent's eyebrows go up, the kid goes, uh-oh. The parent's eyebrows go up and then the kid and the face makes a face. I'm like, the eyebrows go up and then they go down. Like, get my attention, okay, and they go. And when you see the eyebrows frown, you know, I'm going to get a whipping. Or they might look at you and say, you know, just by the mere facial expressions of a parent on this earth, my heavenly Father, I want to be like that in the spirit where I can just look at his face and his eyes go to the left. I'm going to say, oh, Lord, is that, you want me to go to the left? Okay. Without saying anything. I know in his word he tells us that my children know my still, small voice. I want my God to just say, Tim, I want you to do this. And I want you to take care of this, and I'll be there for this, and I want you to, whatever. I just want to have that conversation. I don't want to have him go, Tim, I want you to, you're not paying attention. It is so much nicer just to have a conversation with God rather than having him have to yell at you. Tim, if you would have done this, it wouldn't have happened. Yes, Father. Okay. Keep guard. Keep someone or something under close observation. Keep God under your close observation. How do I do that? By that of the Holy Spirit, by that of his word. His word will keep you into close observation with him. Do you believe it? His word, by just merely reading it, when it becomes a rhema word, it will bounce into your spirit and it'll be alive and it will shock you. And it's like, whoa, I just read that 15 times, but this 16th time, it just did something for me. Or it now spoke to this situation in my life, and it helped me 20 years ago, but now it's helping me again. Hallelujah. The same word, the same God. But it's how we begin to, what? We went from a 25-watt bulb to a 50 to 75 to 100, you know? We're getting more attentive. We're getting more in tune to those things. To observe as a spectator, and how would that be? It's kind of like watching this. It's like the country watched as the stocks fell sharply. Oh, no. Any of your stocks falling sharply. But we're watching as a spectator. We're watching something happening. We got to be watching the signs of the times, right? Look at the signs of the times, of those times of the return of the Lord. That's why it's important to be that watchman, because we need to be about his business, helping people understand where they're going to spend eternity if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because God wants you, because he says, I desire that none should perish, but we know there's going to be some that perish, because not all are going to make it in. To be expectant. To be expectant is like this, to watch for a signal. And there's those times that he signals these things to us. A child of God, how does he single us? Single us? By that of the Spirit. Amen? I'm going to tell you, if we speak less and less of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be less and less informed of what God wants. If we put the Holy Spirit over here for a while and we allow the Spirit to come out only at certain times, there will be a lot of things that you've missed. There will be a lot of things that come in and eat your lunch. Because the Spirit is daily in and out, speaking to us, ministering to us, teaching us, showing us. And we've got to be alert to the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what I'm saying. We may sleep at night, but you may be stirred by the Holy Spirit to wake up. And you go, what in the world? And all of a sudden, something pops into your thoughts, your heart, your spirit. Maybe something to pray about. He alerted you and woke you up to pray. You wake up. Many times when I wake up, I go, what's going on? Well, if I woke up, all of a sudden, I think, boom, somebody's name comes to me. Okay, Lord, I'll pray for this person. It's usually people going through situations, but it could be just people not going through. So you lift them up and the guy puts them on your heart. Even at 2 o'clock in the morning, you say, well, Lord, I don't know if Sally or Bill or Stop, whatever, they're going through a situation, but Lord, just be with them in whatever is going on right now. I think what he's wanting to do, he's wanting to see, is my child alert to me? Will he hear me? Will she hear me in the night's hour? Because when it gets, I tell you, when it really gets rough out there, it's going to be done that way. You better be listening and tuned in to God through the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? You know? I know we like to, as a church, just go like, well, let's just read his word and just share some stories. And that was fun, wasn't it? Okay, let's go home. You better be, churches better be building up the army of God. And we better be telling them the word of God is true. The word of God is for today. Everything in here has not been, man loves to go through and dissect what they think is important of God's word and then share it with the people. That is the wrong way to go. You better be, as a church, leadership, pastor, whatever the case is, you better be hearing from God and saying, I'm going to give them the fullness of the gospel. The what? It wasn't saying share the half gospel with them, share the partial gospel with them, share the what? Full gospel. Gospel, God's word. God is saying, share my whole word with the people out there and don't take something away just because you don't understand it. And I've said this many times, and we've talked about it over and over again. You know, I love the Holy Spirit. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to have his way, you know. And when it happens, I may not understand it, but I never want to quench the Holy Spirit to where if he's got a word, amen? And if we get to that point, we've shared, remember our Revelation studies on Thursday, we talked about when we talked about the seven churches. I still believe and continue to think, and this is my thought process, that every Sunday, by that of what? The Spirit, Jesus says, I visit, I walk up and down the aisles of my churches, hearing what they're sharing, hearing what they're saying. What about? About him, about his word. Are they diluting my word? Were they on fire for me now, but now they're not on fire for me? Whoa, were they serving me at one time, and now they've let sin come in and let sin control them? Are they following what man wants them to do, or are they following what I want them to do? Woo! That's what we would call coming to Jesus meeting. And you guys are sitting out there. I'm up here. And I'm, as a pastor, leading. I don't want to do this, but now that I've got this, it's like I want to be sharing the fullness of God's word. And let you take it, let you figure it out, let it grow in you, let you develop it and understanding by his word. I do not understand everything. I understand hardly anything in this by that of my near knowledge, because I don't understand it by knowledge. I understand it by faith. The faith is where you get with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. How many people want to please God? Well, I want to please God. You know, ask our churches out there. How many of you want to please God? We want to please God. Okay. But you nickel and dime his word. Oh, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to call sin what sin is. People will leave. Oh, well. So we're trying to let them know what we all need to change, myself included. The enemy loves to sell a bill of goods. Oh, I had this one person say, I know it's wrong, but God knows my heart. No, you know what I said? Because I believe that was by the Spirit. Because here again, I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. There's a lot of things I've got to learn. There's a lot of things I still need to develop. But I love it when I just hear from God and I say these things. I said, yeah, he knows your heart. But I said, here's a question. Do you know God's heart? If we know God's heart, do you want to hurt another heart? Do you want to hurt someone that loves you? Do you want to hurt someone that sent their only begotten son to die for you? But yeah, we can always use these little cliches. Oh, he knows my heart, even though I go and do what I shouldn't be doing. Anyway, but be expectant. Watch for the signal. You got to be plugged in. You got to be waiting. So in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep. I say let us not slumber as others do, but let us watch and be sober, self-controlled. People have a hard time being self-controlled. I can raise my hand to that. Anybody else? But you know what? We're all a work in progress. Amen? Amen. We have not arrived. And God's not looking for us to be perfect on this side of heaven, but he's just wanting us to be hungry for him and desiring to do the right thing and desiring to put away the old man and let the new man develop. And so that's going to take some struggling. That's going to take some pushing. That's trying to get out of here. You know, there's times when you're sitting there and you got to be careful when you're talking to yourself and there's other people around because they'll think you're cuckoo or something, you know. It's like, get out of here, Tim. Oh, you know. Talking about myself. Or you sit there and say, get out of here, devil. And people are looking around, you know, like, well, who are you talking to? Oh, the devil. So in the Amplified, so let us not sleep in spiritual indifference as the rest of the world does. See, the world is in spiritual darkness, spiritual slumber, spiritual sleep. Everything's good. Everything's okay. But let's keep wide awake. Awake, it says this, be alert and cautious, and let us be sober, that there again, self-controlled, and here's another word of that, being sober, being calm and wise. See, we need to go into this life and be calm when all hell is going loose around you. You need to be calm, or else you will make mistakes, okay? So what we revert to is calm and wise so that we don't make mistakes. When we go through a trial or a tribulation, the one thing the enemy is wanting to do when he puts things is he wants to see you fail. He wants to see you fall flat on your face. He wants you to go running out like, the sky is falling, the sky, I don't know, what am I going to do? If you have been reading God's word and have you been digesting his word into you and taking it in and filing away? Because by that of the Holy Spirit, he will bring that word back to you. I am very bad on memorization, you know. But I can paraphrase and I know it's there. Or because they give me a minute and let me do some looking and I'll find it. But I know God's word has said something about this to this to this. And here's what it meant or here's what it kind of pertained to. But anyway, as we go through and we learn these things of God, as we go through the development with him, he's wanting us to remain, even in the times of catastrophes and bad times, to be calm. Wasn't there a story somewhere in the Bible about a rocking ship and all, and Jesus was sleeping? See, Jesus, I think the Lord says, even when we're going through a stormy time, he just wants us to rest. It'll be, so they went and woke him up. How can you sleep at a time like this, you know? Oh, ye of little faith, you know? I think what we want to do as we begin to develop more with God, I find a lot of the things that I've learned with that of the police department and trainings that they go through, and even in the military, but a lot with the officers because that's where I'm really dug into right now. But they go through a lot of scenarios and trainings, scenarios and trainings, scenarios and training, blah, 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 over and over, the same thing, over and over. And why do they do that? They call it because what it is they're wanting what they call it muscle memory. With muscle memory, you go off of how you've been trained. You don't have to think. When this is happening, you just automatically, because I went through this training for the last umpteen years, and this is the way you develop it, that when that tragedy, when that stressful thing happens, your mind goes crazy. You can't think right. You go, woo! But officers and things of emergency services, they're trained to go through training after training so that they're ready for when the real thing happens. They just fall back on their training and muscle memory, or what they've been just, they go on autopilot, I think is what we would call it. Because when we go through a training and we take, and after a serious situation in a CISM, critical incident stress management, debriefings and defusings we do, it's like, okay, as we go around, the terminology will be used. Okay, now, okay, you've gone through this situation and how traumatic and what had happened. Now, here we're, after you came off of, what they will say, when you came off of autopilot, How did you feel? What struck you first? See, when they get into those situations, they're on autopilot, they're on auto training, they're on memory, or muscle memory, so they can function. I think with God, God wants us that same way. I see so much paralleling with the things that I'm learning there to the things of the Word of God, that we have to have a spiritual memory, a mind memory of the Word of God, amen? So when things happen tragically that you can fall back on your training, you can fall back on what? The Word of God to get you through that time. Without it, you will be not calm. You will be filled with anxiety. You're not going to be calm. You're going to be running with kinds of fear and what do I do now? And oh, what's next? What should I do? As a child of God, we should just keep on autopilot and say, this is how I'm going to handle the situation. Go to prayer. Turn it over to God. Do the battle that he wants me to do if that's the case. But above all, turn it over to God. Trust God. Pray the scriptures. Remember his word. Stand strong. Be in faith. Praise him. Worship him during the times of a storm. Amen. Then when you come off of that and you come off and now you're not on autopilot anymore, you're sitting there going, wow. Well, survive that. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're still praising him. Hallelujah. But be that of just ready to fall back on God's word and be that of the light. Do not slumber, be sober, or be of self-control. But be calm and wise, as this comes out of the Amplified. In the Word of God, the word wealth for watchmen is this. This was out of Merriam-Webster I shared. The Word of God says to look out, peer into the distance, to spy, keep watch, to scope something out, especially in order to see approaching danger and to warn those who are in danger. This is that watchman. Okay, being that watchman, we're to warn those who are in danger. We have to go out and warn those of salvation and where their eternity is. The enemy has sold you a bill of goods. They blinded you to these things. It talks in God's word that the enemy has blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, seared their mind, so that they can't take the word of God in. So we pray for the openness of their heart, the openness of their mind. Lord, just open their eyes and reveal your word to them. As I share this, Lord, let it get into their hardened heart. Just soften it, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. So we're doing those type things. But to watch, to scope something out, especially in order to see approaching danger and to warn those who are endangered. Woo! Talks about it in other instances. It's a spiritual watchman or a prophet who looks out, sees the danger, and reports it to the people. Warning, warning. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will. Yeah, that robot, you know. Danger, danger. His arms always flapping, you know. Like. So here we are. We're thinking about let us therefore not sleep or slumber. Let's see. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. This is back in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. Godly believers live unto God, and they live for God. Amen. We live unto God. We want to live for God. Tired of living for the devil. They seek to honor and reflect God in everything they do and think and say. Godliness lives quietly. Godliness lives quietly. It is absorbed in doing good for others and works productively. Godliness has a good reputation with unbelievers, believe it or not. Godliness is knowing the commands of scriptures and then doing them. Conduct your life being alert and self-controlled. Remember last week I shared, we were talking about, hold on my child, you know, weeping is only for the night, joy comes in the morning. We talked and got into areas of praise and how I shared, you know, we talk about praise and areas of praise and certain types of praise. It's shouts of joy, shouts of praise. But there's also a part of praise that says it's quiet and calmness of praise. That we could just be in calmness but still praise. So it's not always, hey, praise God, sometimes when we're just sitting here, We're still praising, but it's quiet. Woo! Hallelujah. So, now, quickly as we wrap this up, we can just zip through this, I think. And my brother John, he had shared this many times. So, it's been in here. Well, the word's been in here since the beginning anyway, so it's nothing that just was added to my Bible. So, we've all known this. But we've shared, and John has shared wonderfully about the 10 virgins, the parable of the wise and the foolish. And this is where it kind of gets back to being on watch, to watch. In Matthew 25, and then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But then in verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And those that were foolish said to the wise, hey, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying this, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was left open. Shut! Oh, is that what your Bible says? Oh, mine too. Shut! See, you guys need to have your Bible, man. You need to be following. I could be a heretic pastor up here and say, oh, it's okay. Just leave the doors wide open. You can go out and live life to the fullest. God loves you. No, the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came along saying, Lord, Lord, open it to us. But he answered and says this, wouldn't you hate to have this, what you would hear? Oh, from that of God, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Jesus here began his sentence with the command, watch. Right? 13, watch. The challenge the Lord gives us to be constantly and eagerly waiting for his return. It's going to be a great time. We're eagerly waiting for it. But therefore, our duty is twofold. It's to prepare ourselves for his coming so that the Lord will receive a bride without spot or wrinkle. You know, he's looking for that. It does behoove us as churches, and we are the church, right? Not this building. Now, he's not going to take this building up. We are the church. He's looking for a church, a spotless bride. Amen? Without spot or wrinkle. And here's the second part, to do business until he returns so that the kingdom of God is preserved and extended on earth. Going to take back what the enemy stole. Amen? We're going to take it back, even right here upon this earth. It's about here. So let us be about the Father's business. Live in expectation of the Master's return and be done with all idle speculation. Ooh. Be done. Get away from idle speculation or superstitious date setting regarding the time. Don't even worry about the time, because Jesus says, Father didn't even tell me, man. Why do you guys think you need to know? Because we're just busybodies. We just want to have one. It's almost like you want to have one up on Jesus. You're going to go up and stand before God and says, yeah, hey, yeah, Jesus, he didn't know, but I figured it out, didn't I? No, you didn't. It's hidden out there. But as we always say, I can guarantee you, today is closer than yesterday. And if the Lord shall prevail, we're back here next Sunday. We're closer than it was last Sunday. Because he is coming back. But all he is giving us for warning and warning after warning is to be what? Ready. To be what? Watchmen. To be what? As we watch, share the message. Don't just slumber and say, well, I've got it made. I can care less about anybody else. We want as much as we can to share the wonderful love of Christ to those out there that were in bondage as we once were. It's like somebody that found a great sale at a store. I don't know what woman or guy, you know, if a guy finds a good tool price somewhere, he's going to let his friends know. If a lady finds a good price on, you know, dresses or cosmetics or something that's a women thing, they're going to share with their friends and say, you need to go to this store. They've got the greatest sale right now. They're out proclaiming something good, right, to the people. And there's another thing we do. When we have a bad experience, we proclaim, we go out there and we protect them. We're sharing the, don't go there because it's not the way it's supposed to, or they don't have it. So we tell them two things. Something good in the real world, we tell them, go, it's there. And then if it's something that we've had a situation with and it's like, no, they're just going to mess up and you're just going to mess with you, we warn them. We send them to go for something good, amen, in the world. And then in the world, we warn them about, don't go there because that's not the way it's going to be. That's what we got to do in the spirit. That's what the thing we do with God as watchmen is we give them the good. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Amen. Our song that we sing on Thursdays, I love to tell the story. Woo! It'll be my theme in glory. That's telling the good to those out there. Then we also want to tell them out there the bad. The devil's got a place for you. It's waiting down in hell. It's a hot time in the old town tonight. You don't want to go there, you know. So we pray, we say the good, we warn them about the bad. Many people out there today say, well, I always talk and say, well, first of all, do you believe there's a heaven? Yeah. Do you believe there's a hell? No. Well, now we got a problem. But if they say yeah and yeah to both, okay, now let's dig a little bit deeper. What do you tell people when they say, well, I feel hell is right here on this earth. Look what's taking on. And you go, well, I'm going to tell you, and this is about as good as it's going to be for you because it gets worse from here on down if you're not a child of God. So you want to get worser than what it is here? Is that a word, worser? But we want to tell them the good, and we want to tell them the bad, but we want to, what, proclaim and capitalize on the good. I don't want to scare people into heaven. I want to love them into heaven. I want them to come to heaven with like expectations like, oh, this is so good. You scare them into heaven, and then they walk up there, and they're thinking God's going to slap them around or because they were bad, and it took me so long. Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm sorry, Lord. No, love them into heaven that God's got a plan for you, and I just want people to hook up to their plan here on this earth. You've got a plan. God's got the plan for you. My encouragement to you is to work that plan. Amen? Amen. Well, I don't know if I didn't go much further. There's other things here about watching in Matthew and Mark about that. But just start looking at the Bible about watch. And John, it's your fault. No. But I'm sorry, but it is. When you start thinking about that word watch and being a watchman, there's a lot of importance to it. But it's also good because we have the best thing to share. Amen? And Heavenly Father, we thank you today. And Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is true. I pray, Lord, that what has been shared here, Lord, will touch hearts of these people in some way that you have planned. And that, Lord, even when we leave here, myself included, that you will draw back to remembrance of what was shared, for if it has a specific for their situation. Oh, I love you, Lord, for that. How we can reflect back and how your word ministers to us, not just when we hear it, but as we've received it and allow it to go into our hearts and our thoughts. And then I say, Lord, let it come back. Let it develop, Lord. For we all need to hear from you in a greater way, in a fresher way. And I thank you, Father, for your word is so true and so alive. Minister now whatever is needed into these wonderful people right now for healings and strength. Lord, I pray for their walk this week coming up that whatever the enemy has planned, Lord, that you will give them an alertness to stay away from it or to be prayed up and ready for it, Lord, and to be able to turn it over to you. For, Lord, it says in your word that the battle is yours. So why should we hold on to all these things? We just need to give it over to you because all you want us to do is worship you, praise you, sing to you, and just, oh, Lord, love you. And so I thank you again. Oh, Father, for a special time. None of us were here by accident. You know, Lord, when I start thinking about you and the power and your plan, way back when you spoke the world into existence and brought all of this about, Lord, you knew what this July date would entail and who would even be here because you're an awesome God. So why should we worry? Why should we have tremblings, Lord, of, oh, what's tomorrow going to hold? Lord, you already know what our tomorrows hold. And we just ask you for your help and guidance in them. And above everything else, Lord, as we looked at our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that we would just say this. All I say and do is to bring honor and glory to you. For you deserve it. Now go with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.